now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. We live. Yeah, we live. I got DJ Unique in the building. I got some of my people in the building. And like we always do, man. Look, we're going to talk about these sports. We're about to talk about, we had a hell of a weekend in terms of these football games. Joining me right now is my co-host, Andrico Hines.
How y'all doing? It's a two-drink minimum. I just want you to know.
So, yeah, we about to go up, man. We about to talk about it. I want to, first of all, congratulate you, bro. You know what I'm saying? Because you doing your thing. And I'm seeing you do your thing, and I'm proud because I know where we come from. You know what I'm saying? I know what we've been doing. I know the whole struggle from the beginning all the way until now for you to be at that platform where you are doing what you're doing in the middle of everything that's going on. Salute to you, dog. Like, I appreciate you.
No, man, I appreciate you. Thanks for having me. And that goes both ways, man. I see the things you're doing, and I appreciate it. Keep building for us, man. We need a platform like this to be able to speak sports real, you know,
right,
and, on a good platform. So I appreciate you having me, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, man. So in case you don't know, Coach Hines, I'm going to call him Coach Hines because I don't want to call him what we would call him growing up. I don't know if you want everybody to know, you know, that. But Coach Hines has been out here. He's the QB legacy is going on. He's grooming young quarterbacks, mm-hmm. whether it's high school, whether it's middle school, all the way up college and into the league. You know what I'm saying? He's done work with a lot of your favorite QBs from Cam Newton, Tyrod Taylor. You know what I'm saying? All of these guys he's had an imprint on. So when I say I'm proud of him, I say that sincerely because he's been out here doing his work. So with that being said, talk about this quarterback play that was taking place this weekend. Like, it's kind of, to me watching, and I'm a fan, you know what I'm saying? I'm just watching it as a fan. I don't have this professional eye, but I'm watching it as a fan, and I'm like, damn, you know, this Kansas City game is a shootout, everything going on. What was your perspective?
I think it was beautiful to watch from a perspective of the game changing, meaning this is not about race or anything, but the game is going to a mobile quarterback, you know. You saw Josh Allen running right. plays like they would have Cam Newton running back in the day. Just third down, he's mm-hmm. taking over. Patrick Mahomes making plays, extending plays with their feet. So I was excited to see the game moving forward in a direction where it's not a statue at quarterback, a 6'5 guy, 6'6 guy that could throw it a mile, but guys who could throw and move as well.
Yeah, because I made the comment one time on Twitter. I was like, damn, did Kansas City pick up Lamar Jackson just as a joke? I knew he's certainly not as fast as Lamar Jackson, but
right.
as a joke, just to say, because the first couple series, he was picking them up, putting them down, and he was getting away from the defense. You know what I'm saying? Yes. And it, partially because he had to, but partially because he could. So, like you said, it's not even black or a white thing. It's just the way that the league is moving, and people are understanding the fact that a mobile quarterback is better than just having a statue back there, sit back there. Because almost, true or false, it's almost like you eliminating a man or you giving the defense an extra man when you just have a guy just standing there just sitting in the pocket.
Correct. Like in coach's term, we would say it's like 10 on 11 when your quarterback is not mobile. So the defense has 11 guys. The quarterback is immobile, so you can really get an extra guy defensively. But when the quarterback is mobile, you kind of get your numbers back and they have to defend everybody.
So with that, like, that was an exciting game. Give me that rundown when you're looking at the last couple minutes where you have, like, Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen. They're going back and forth, and it's like, oh, did you give Pat Mahomes too much time? Did you give Josh Allen too much time? And 13 seconds on the clock, and you're like, damn.
Man, with 13 seconds, everybody knew the game was over. I don't think nobody watching the game thought they had a chance, you know. But I think the big thing for Kansas City, the game was the playmakers were playmakers. Mecole Hardman was kind of silent for the most part during the year, but I think his presence was huge in that game. Tyreek Hill is Tyreek Hill, and Pat was just different, man. Big plays, moving with his feet, arm, just a difference maker.
Yeah, and I So I always on my podcast, I do the show, I told y'all my bad. And I've held firm to the fact that in the first, what I think it was seven games, the first seven games, I think Kansas City was like 3-4. Mm-hmm. And everybody, all on ESPN, all on Fox, everybody was like, oh, they figured him out. I hate that term. They figured him out. You know what I'm saying? They figured him out. The league caught up with Pat Mahomes. The league caught up with the Kansas City Chiefs, all of this stuff. And I'm like, man, listen, hold on. Just hold on. It's all going to come out in the wash. It's a long season, man. 17 games is a long-ass time. Mm-hmm. And especially when you have some guys who are out here, like, you playing – I think it's in the beginning of the season and at the end of the season, you're playing a lot of conference games. So mm-hmm. you're playing a lot of teams that have already seen you before. You're not doing anything new. So what do you think, like, after that, they went, like, what, 12-1, mm-hmm. somewhere along there? But is it such a thing as the league has caught up with someone? Because I hear that about Lamar Jackson, too.
I mean, you could say that, but it's kind of like the old school when we were coming up. You can't stop somebody, you can kind of contain them. Mm-hmm. And it's only you can contain them for so long before they be special. And I think that's kind of what Kansas City is, man. They're special, like, in different places. Kelce, Miko, mm-hmm. the quarterback, Hill. They got the running back. Yeah. I think the guy from LSU came back.
Yeah.
Man, and it's like I think they're playing well right now. The only team I think might be playing a little better is the Rams.
Okay. And I wanted to move it to that game also, just because I don't believe in Matt Stafford, dog. Like, I like the defense. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I like what they're doing on defense. I think that's going to be what comes in. But I don't like Matt Stafford. Like, I think he gets a pass a little bit because everybody was saying he was playing for the Lions. You know what I'm saying? Oh, he was playing for the Lions. And a couple times during the game, it looked like he reverted back to the Lions, Matt Stafford. You know what I'm saying? It looked like. But... And I will give it to him. In the moment, he stepped up. He did his thing. He stepped up. But I still don't believe in Matt Stafford. But moving forward, I will say I do like the Rams in their matchup when they're coming against San Francisco.
Look, with you not being sold on Matt Stafford, I get it. You know, the past hasn't shown that he will be the guy to get you over the hump. I don't think it's because of him, per se. I think it's because of where he's been.
Okay.
His supporting cast is way better now. You know, I think him and OBJ has something to prove. You know, and it's a saying, when somebody has something to prove, they'll move a mountain for you. I think he's playing for his legacy right now, in my opinion, you know, with that. So I think he's playing it on a different level. I agree. I'm not just sold on Matthew Stafford. But with that being said, I'm not just sold on Jimmy G either.
That was my next question, because I was going to us. I think we had a conversation before. But you were selling me on Jimmy G.
I like Jimmy. Don't get me wrong. Because I'm a quarterback's quarterback. So it's almost like being a rapper's rapper. Like, you, if you appreciate the position and how he plays, you would appreciate him.
Okay.
But as far as, like, just a fan of Jimmy G, like, you know.
Commissioner Gordon.
And I told you before, I kind of want you, just to get your perspective, I kind of want you to rank the remaining QBs, like what we have coming up.
First is Patrick Mahomes. I think that's a no-brainer. Second, I'll probably say Matt right now.
Okay.
I think he's playing lights out. Jimmy G. Third, and the young kid, fourth.
So now that brings me to this, because I knew that was going to be your answer.
Joe Burrow. Everybody knows.
I knew that was going to be your answer. You not quite sold on Joe.
I'm not saying that. The game that I watch now, I'm sure everybody saw it from a different perspective in their house or wherever they watch the game, but he got sacked nine times. Everybody's like, oh, man, if you get sacked nine times, there's no way you're supposed to win the game. But if you throw three picks and one pick that just doesn't make any sense, you're going to lose the game.
Right.
So I can't just say he balled out when the other quarterback laid an egg. That's all I'm saying.
Going against Tannehill, that, you know what I'm saying, I give that respect.
Commissioner Gordon.
It's no different than growing up in Cleveland. It ain't gonna be no different growing up in Detroit, Right, it is painful. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you said something earlier, like you do have a choice.
Well, I got a choice. Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? You always have a choice.
Yeah, yeah. That's
but I mean. At the same time, the choice is always a ride with the crib.
To me,
the choice is always a ride with the crib.
If the crib ain't winning, where we going? We ain't riding nowhere.
I can't just jump ship. Cause if I do that, I'm gonna be jumping ship every time somebody start losing.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? If I was a Philly fan, or if I was a Chicago Bears, or if I was a, you know what I'm saying? If I was somebody, I would always, every year, you see me with a brand new jersey.
Touche.
You know what I'm saying? You see me every year. Who you like?
Touche.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be that guy.
I stopped being a fan when free agency came around, right? Like, okay. I felt like back then the teams would be the teams. You know,
right.
Jerry Rice was going to be on the 49ers. Mm-hmm. It wasn't going to be nothing different. Roger Craig was going to be there. Everybody was going to be where they was going to be. When free agency came, everything changed. You know, Deion could be on your team 1 year and on the next team the next year.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's hard to be a fan of anybody when in a year the whole team can change.
And that goes down the line from, like, even now, like, okay, so with that in perspective, you train a lot of these college coaches, the college QBs. Is that your idea of the transfer portal also?
Not the transfer portal is just a. I don't know. That's weird, bro. I think it's hurting football more than it's helping football. I think people that's not happy try to make a decision that's emotional, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And in life, things don't happen instantly. You know, sometimes it takes time. You know what I mean? And I think everybody wants what they want when they want it. And if they don't get it, it's like, I'm leaving. It's like thousands of people in a transfer portal, you know? And it's crazy because it's like a kid that might leave Alabama, and the only team that'll take him is Valdosta State.
Right.
You know, so it's like you just left a Power 5 to go to a FCS or a D2 school, and then you're looking all like, what is going on? So I got a guy that was entering transfer portal, funny story. He was taking a visit. He's from Clemson. He was taking a visit to a HBCU this weekend, and he posted that they have him in, he had a roommate on his visit. Now, this guy went to Clemson.
Right.
Like, used to all the finer things in life.
Rolling out the red carpet.
You know, roll out the red carpet. Yeah. You know, probably top a notch. Penthouse on his visit. You know what I mean? Now you go to sharing a room with somebody. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's kind of like, it put it in perspective how good some people have it and they don't know it. You know?
True. So I believe also that with this being the first year of the transfer portal, officially, like I won't say the first year, but with it being like as popular as it's ever been, I think a lot of that's going to flatten out. Mm-mm. You don't think so?
No.
And the only reason why I say that, I'll tell you why I say that, and then you can tell me why you disagree. But the reason why I say that is for the very reason that you just said. Like, there's going to be people who are going to realize that they have it good at a certain place. They get out there to that certain place, then they look around and like, shit, I can't. I'm still not starting, or I'm still not in the position where I want to be. I'm still not going to be a top draft pick. And so people will see all of that, and they'll say, well, man, shoot, it might be better to stay where I'm at. Stick it out right here, because if I fool around with Nick Saban put XYZ receivers in the league. He put so many safeties in the league, and I just hang around and wait my turn, then I'm good.
Yeah, but their parents are not saying that. Like, if you were a five-star and you go to Alabama and you're not playing, your mom and your daddy sitting here saying, them coaches don't know what they're doing. You know, you all this and you all that. Like, what we finna sit here and wait on such and such for? You know, it's just to me, like I say, it's the people that's behind these people that don't want them to wait. I think football and sports in general is turning into like an adult's thing. Like, it's like the adults want it and it's not a kid's thing anymore. You know, I just think with the transfer portal, the rich will keep getting richer.
True.
It's just like the guy that transferred from Georgia. He's going to Alabama.
Right.
Like, the rich is getting richer, you know? Yeah. Like, this, you see people leaving the transfer quarter, they're going to Deion, Jackson State.
Right.
The rich is getting richer. Well, I think the only benefit will help the junior colleges. Now, junior colleges, I feel, are not obsolete anymore. Like, it was kind of like an afterthought to go to junior college.
Right.
You know, like, it was for kids that didn't have grades, you know?
Right,
now,
right.
Now, it's like, I might as well go to junior college.
Make a name for
because
yourself.
All the colleges are taking college kids opposed to a high school kid. So
you.
I'd rather get a cornerback out of the transfer portal that's leaving Mississippi State than get a guy coming out of high school from Georgia.
Okay.
You know, he's already played.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why I feel like the transfer portal would just hurt it, and the rich will keep getting richer.
And you mentioned Deion a minute ago. And I'll be honest, I'm a fan. You know what I'm saying? I'm a fan. I'm supporting what he's doing. But at the same time, like what you were saying, is he the only program right now that's going to benefit off a lot of this stuff? Or can an Eddie George at Tennessee State or a FAMU, can they benefit off what's going on right now as well if they put the promotion out there like he did?
I just think HBCU as a whole is benefiting right now. You know, Grambling just hired Hugh Jackson,
right.
NFL head coach, OC, Deion, Eddie George. And I think most of the black colleges are trying to follow the same trend. With these big-time coaches come more opportunities for advertising, you know, and I think that brings the school more recognition.
Right.
I know I'm not as old as I might look, but, you know, back in the day, when we were growing up, a lot of the guys we know in the NFL were HBCU guys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think it's just us having to take more pride in it. I train a couple guys. I coach guys at HBCUs. And to go and watch a real HBCU game, like mm-hmm. a historic HBCU, is the best atmosphere I've ever been in my life. Like, it was – And I felt bad because I never gave HBCUs a chance. You know, growing up, it was D1 or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Power 5 or nothing.
Right.
You know, and then when you go and you experience a tailgate and you experience a Alcorn Southern rivalry and the camaraderie that everybody has outside, and it's not like what you would think. You know,
right.
it was different. You know, you go to the Georgia and Auburn, and I go mm-hmm. to all these Power 5s, and it was, hey, how you doing? You know, but in these, it was like family.
Yeah.
Hey, man, come get some chicken, man.
Yeah.
You wearing an all corner, man. We're going to beat y'all to sleep. You know, it was different, bro. You know?
I can attest to that.
Man, and, you know, like I say, I just think if we look more into it, we would give our people and our institutions a little more chance than just saying Georgia is the end all be all.
Right.
You know.
And I can attest to that because I was the same way growing up. You hear, you know, oh, you ain't going to go to the black school. You ain't going to go to the black school. You got to go to school, you know. So when hearing that coming up,
mm-hmm.
it does something to you. And then I got out and, you know, so now I still wasn't big. And it wasn't until I got around some people I started working at the station and a lot of people from HBCUs. And we started doing some of these homecomings. We started doing some of these other things. And then just this year, I got a chance to go to the Magic City Classic. Mm. And like you just said, going to Magic City Classic, these folks didn't know me from damn Adam. But everybody, come over here and get something to eat. Come
weird,
have a drink.
Man.
I had a drink in my hand before I even hit the stadium. You know what I'm
right,
saying?
Right.
From some dude who just like, hey, bro, come on up, pour it up. Who you with?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, I ain't even from Alabama. Oh, shoot. Well, you're going to be with State today. You know what I'm saying? And he telling me who I'm going to chill for. And I'm like, all right, cool. And we had a great time.
Right.
Like, the whole fam came out. We had a great time. We enjoyed ourselves. And now, with that knowledge, like you, I'm sitting here like, man, I wish I'd had some of this growing up. I had some of these experiences. I had some of these ideas and some of this knowledge, because my post-high school career may have been different. You know what I'm saying? And so all I can do is turn and give it to the kids.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so with that, with you, like I said, all you can do. So do you have a guy, or have you had players who have said, man, I got to go to Florida. I got to go to Clemson. I got to go to Florida State.
Oh, yeah. You know, in coaching high school, you know, I talk to kids all the time. You know, it's like, where you want to go to college? And it's always those schools,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I kind of say, I want you to do me a favor. Go to a HBCU game. Right? Like, just go. I don't want you to just, like, don't think about what you think it's like. Just go experience it. I had a kid I was coaching a couple years ago, and he was, man, I don't want to go. I don't want to play HBCU. Went to a game. He called me that night. Said, Coach, I ain't going to lie. I want to go to HBCU. I said, oh, so now you want to go HBCU. But, you know, I think if things was a little different, like when we were coming out, if I could have got my grad transfer year,
mm-hmm.
I probably would have played my last year at HBCU.
Okay.
I just would have wanted to experience that for a semester, because I probably would have flunked out. But I definitely would have wanted the experience.
What they say, McNeil had all the ladies at Alcorn, all the AKAs. That was the story. Like, he had all the ladies, all the AKAs at Alcorn State. he was going through it. You know, whatever. I don't want to put his name out there. You know what I'm saying? But you hear those type of stories, yeah, right? Exactly. Rest in peace. But you hear those type stories, and you, as unbelievable as they sound, you just like, all right, you know, that's whatever.
But I'm gonna tell you, like, so I went to Middle Tennessee State, right? It was like 40 miles from Tennessee State. Mm. And, you know, we would have AKAs come out on our line, and it's probably like, you know, 25, 30, you know, right? And, you know, we hear, hey, the AKAs coming out of TSU. It's 100 of them. Like, God, no. Like, get out of here, man. 100 girls coming out on the line? Like, yeah, I think I want to go there for a semester.
Right.
You know?
Right, just to see what.
Just to see.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine who came out of Tennessee State, and he came to Georgia Southern. He was like, bro, like, I'm going to be honest, man. It was so many women at Tennessee State that you didn't even have to approach nobody. Like, you didn't have to, like, women were approaching you. He's like, but here, I feel like I got to work. Like, I got to work. I got to talk to her. I got to buy a drink. You know, I got to dance. I got to do all this. He was like, man, this ain't nothing like. And I was like, I mean. And at the time, he blew it off. I blew it off just because, you know, I was like, shoot, I'm doing all
right. Right.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't got no issue. You know, maybe that's a you thing, player.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But to hear that and to see it actually with the alumni, with the staff, and you go to the game, you see the environment, I will agree, man, it's a whole different experience. And I wish more of our young black athletes would decide to go that route or at least give it a chance. And if it ain't for you, it ain't for you.
I think they are, though. I think with Deion and his presence, you know, I think it's kind of – people want to be a part of that, you know. I don't think it's like you look down on it no more.
Okay.
You know, back in the day, Deion just had the number one recruit in the country sign with him, mm-hmm. you know, so you can't really look down on a decision
like
that.
Four. Like, I think it was like a number four.
And they got like
two.
They about to make another splash. So – I think now with people taking that direction, I don't think it'll take long, you know, but we'll have to get two or three more people that can hold the weight Deion's holding, to get the attention that he's getting, you know. And I think everything will take care of itself. But I think the big thing for HBCUs, they have to get in the FCS playoffs.
So with that, them kind of doing it on their own and having the celebration bowl, whether like the SWAC, MEAC, and everybody's kind of a separate entity, you're for them joining of the like the NCAA, like to join into that to where they can integrate, and if you get more on the platform, it'll bring more attention?
I think if Jackson State were to get in the FCS playoffs, right, I mm-hmm. think it'll bring more attention to the FCF playoffs. The FCS playoffs is more of a realistic playoff structure.
Right.
Than FBS.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So I think it'll shine a light on them really having to take a real legitimate look at a playoff system if Deion were to get into the FCS playoffs. But they've signed a contract not to play in it. Mm. They've signed a contract to play in the Black College National Championship.
Right.
I don't know when that contract is up. I think FAMU was the only HBCU this year that played in the FBS.
And traditionally, they've been one of the only ones to play in the FCS championship.
Because they didn't sign that deal to play for the Black College Championship.
So.
Was that?
Yeah.
SWAC, MEAC.
Yeah, but I think they was on probation. FAM was on probation, so they couldn't go.
So, but yeah, man, I agree. That we need to, as parents, we all getting up and older. As parents that have kids, we need to make sure that they get a taste or experience of their life. And I know I got this with my guy Envy over here. I know a lot of times he laughs at me because when I first started working with him, he's one of the dudes, you know what I'm saying? He went to Clark Atlanta University. He was one of the guys. When I first, I was like, man, I used to laugh at him. Y'all play, What y'all, the illustrious? Is that what it is? Yeah. So he was one of the dudes when I was like, man, y'all ain't playing no football, whatever. Right, he was one of like, man, hey, look, I'm going to have you out here, come out, homecoming, and you tell me. You look at some of these ladies. Was y'all ladies looking like this? You look at some of these alumni. Was y'all alumni looking like this? You look at this atmosphere. Was the grills on every three steps? You know what I'm saying? So I will say, like, he was one of the guys who kind of – kind of made me look around and be like, you know what, man, damn, this shit ain't that bad. You know what I'm saying? It's all right. So, yeah, if we, it's one of those things, though, that us as a culture, helping our own, doing for our own, coming up as our own. And I'm a big advocate of that anyway, because throughout all walks of life, like, I had a lady look at me crazy because I had made a statement one day. I said, I have a black dentist. Go to a black doctor. Folks do my taxes. They black. You know what I'm saying? And she looked, she was like, Like, I was like, what you looking at? Like, what color is your doctor? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What color is your dentist? I was like, so are you going to call me a racist? Because that's what you look like you want to do. You want to call me a racist. But on the other side, you're doing the same thing. You don't go to a black doctor as an older white lady. How many times do you see that?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You don't see
older white man go to a black dude as a dentist. So I'm like, look, I'm doing the same thing. I'm doing the same thing you're doing. Anybody calling you racist? You know what I'm saying? So I do believe that we have to do that in terms, like, I've never been a fan of the whole clothing line thing. Everybody got to go Gucci or all this other stuff. Man, I'm sitting here, you know what I'm saying? You know what
I'm saying? I'm wearing my quarterback. I got a quarterback that I train at Alcorn State. Like, right now, he's in a draft prep. So I'm wearing his clothing line. You know, he has his own clothing line. So I'm wearing that right now.
Every week, I'm on my podcast telling you my podcast is brought to you by 323 Custom Apparel.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? That's my boy. He in the building. Oh, I hear him. He in the building now. 323 Custom Apparel. He'll get you right. Make your clothing your statement. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
You know, we here sponsored by Greenwood Whiskey, black-owned whiskey. You know what I'm saying? Shouts out to my guy KG. I'm gonna get them up in a minute. They got a little something they got to talk about. We got to get together with them. But I appreciate you, dog. Like I said, I won't hold you up. You know what I'm saying? I want you to hang out, keep kicking it with me, because I may
definitely
need you to come back up here.
Will do.
And politics some more, because we're gonna go through some more of these games. But right now, I want DJ Unique to jump on the ones and twos for about 10, 15 minutes. Give us a break a little bit. We are live here at Blends 2. You know what I'm saying? I want you to join me at Blends 2, 632 South Central Avenue in Hapeville. Come out if you can. If not, we'll be here next week also. DJ Unique, take us home, brother.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. Once again, I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. We just had a great episode with my guy, Coach Andrico Hines. He was telling us all about the games from a QB perspective. And at this point in time, I like to acknowledge businesses, black business. We talked about it before where we go through and we do black businesses, support black dentists, black doctors, black lawyers, tax accountants, nurses, all of the above. And right now, I have two guys. Like, one, this guy, Chris Johnson, I know you're not used to me saying your real name. Who supports me and sponsors the show at 323 Custom Apparel. And I also have another guy who I always kick it with every time I get a chance to. I have Matt, who has Atlantic Clothing Company. And his business has been doing well and doing great. And I just like to, first of all, salute both of you. Also, I won't forget Quaylen, because he's right here, Greenwood Whiskey. Like I said, we're supporting black-owned whiskey. We're going to get Quaylen on in just a second, because there needs to be some type of...
some reparations made. Some reparations.
Also, I want to send a shout-out to my guy, DJ Sturgis, in the building, supporting me. You know what I'm saying? What you mean? Always. So he's supporting. He's been, once again, another A1, day one. And I'm proud of all you guys, because I know where he came from. I know how he came and his grind. So I salute him as well. So what I'm going to do, Quaylen, you want to come around? We're going to go ahead and chop this up, because this is... No.
You can get that. I don't care where you at.
I'm a rook. Appreciate that, bro.
Black Mr. Rogers over here.
So for those of you who aren't familiar, I also do a YouTube special. So I do YouTube shows and interviews. And that primarily was where I did a lot of, like, my interviews. It would just be me on the podcast, and then on YouTube, I would have, like, interviews. And so I had these two dudes on because, once again, they were the sponsors. You know what I'm saying? I got Greenwood Whiskey, I got 323 Custom Apparel. And as we started drinking Greenwood and the show got longer and longer and longer, these two gentlemen made a bet. And the bet was that Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Steelers, because Quaylen is a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, would have a better record than the Arizona Cardinals.
I'm just a gambling man. I didn't even.
I'm not even
an Arizona fan.
Like, not at all. You was just trolling. Like, I don't know why. Like, how you
and that's all it was. Yeah. He was just trolling.
Whose team won the Super Bowl last?
Listen, okay.
And come on,
let's
now.
Talk numbers,
you,
though.
I know you got, we can talk.
I'm talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers, baby.
You got numbers, about? But I'm just asking you, brother, who won the Super Bowl last?
Okay.
All right. See. So, all right.
And so now you see how this got started. They were just going back and forth. And so after a while, Fats hit me the other day. I'm calling Fats. I've been calling him Chris Johnson. I'm calling Fats, but that's what I'm used to.
Please.
Fats hit me the other day and was like, hey, man. You still got that video where we made that damn bet? And I was like, yeah. So the bet was actually if the Steelers won or had a better record, then Fats would have to, you had to do some shirts, right?
Yeah, if the Steelers won more games than the Cardinals, I bet a hoodie. I got you.
You had a hoodie.
But if the Cardinals won,
we had to have a bottle of Greenwood. So here we are, the Cardinals won. And I'm looking, and maybe you might have to present the bar that's over there by DJ Unique. You might have to promise the other bar because you got to pay your bets.
I know. I got you. The bottom's around here.
No. What does I got
like,
you mean?
No. That means I got you.
Uh-oh.
You already. It's all right.
Hey, y'all know what happened when folks say that I got you, right?
Yeah. No,
they,
I got
they ain't,
you.
They ain't got it.
You know. You got it. How many drinks you had tonight?
One.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Get you some more. We good. We good.
Oh, you want me to forget about the fact that that bottle's supposed to be coming my way?
Yo, all right. You know, I'm a man of my word. I'm going to give you your bottle, of course.
That's cool, but I just, can we, in amongst all of our peers, can we honor the fact that who was right?
Uh-oh. That's harder than the bottle.
That, exactly,
that's
right?
Harder than the
I'd
bottle.
I'd rather give you the bottle before I do that.
Before I give you the I was wrong.
Yeah. I might have miscalculated. A lot of things happened with my Pittsburgh Steelers this year, so, you know.
Commissioner Gordon.
So this is what I want to do because I want to get everybody involved. Like, how many people are sitting here telling me out in the audience, like all of y'all, I respect all of you in terms of your sports knowledge. How many people are sitting here like, yeah, I believe that the Rams will win and make it to the Super Bowl because of Matt Stafford, not because of the defense, not because of Aaron Donald and all he'll do, not because of all that. I will believe that because of Matt Stafford.
Yes. Can I give y'all a stat, though? Do y'all realize in the last six games that the Rams have played against the 49ers, they've lost all six? Do you also know that the last four that they've been favored it to win, they lost? Hey, the stats don't lie, bro. Like, I'm,
that wasn't in the playoffs, though.
Yeah, I agree.
But he's only thrown four touchdowns in the last two games. Now, they were huge, but he's only thrown four. So really, they're not even asking him to do nothing. They just asking him not to mess up. Like, they asking him to almost do what Tannehill couldn't. It's just, don't screw this up. Listen, they are asking him to not screw this up.
If that's the case, you keep golf.
Golf was trash.
Pat, let's agree that, but if by your logic, you keep golf. And you tell him not to fuck your verses.
How many points did the Rams score in the Super Bowl against the Patriots?
I'll tell you.
Now you tell him, and so yes, Matt Stafford's ceiling is higher than
you.
And on top of that, he missed a lot of motherfucking
open
receivers.
Who?
Golf
is trash, but we know that.
We know that, but what I'm saying is, I'm talking about by your logic. If that's the case, I keep golf and don't trade away half my draft picks.
Matt Stafford's a way better game manager than golf. They're not asking him to do a lot. That's all I'm trying to say. They're not asking him to do a lot.
He got to win it. He got to play. Don't play Madden.
He
got to
play
mistake
free.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Because when they played last time at the end of the season, a lot of it was on Matt Stafford because he was throwing some bullshit interception.
Yeah, right.
He could play a damn near perfect game. They could win.
You got to go back that far. That was Sunday he almost came to shoot.
Did he? I thought it was Cam Akers at no. Yeah. Did he throw a pick?
I think so.
That was, yeah, that was,
he had a few. He did, but
that was Akers.
And the center. Well, hey, I'm gonna be honest with you. The funny part about that last game, I'm sitting watching the game, and the center snaps the ball and it goes straight past Matt Stafford. My pops called me. The fix is in. They want a damn Tom Brady to go to the Super Bowl, man. I ain't watching this game no more, man. They done fixed it to Tom Brady. I ain't fooling with that. Hey, I was like, hey, man. He was like, man, I'm tired of watching. I'm just going to cut it off. They ain't finna do this to me again. And so I'm like, man, you got to sit tight.
Folks tired of seeing Tom Brady. I ain't going to lie.
But I will say, and if you don't know, and one of my guys right here, I referenced him earlier, Envy, he's a Patriots fan.
Why?
So, because he's from the area. He's from the area. See, he's going to hit you with that stuff because from the
room,
winner.
Everybody in the room a winner. That don't mean that you.
Prior to.
There's a lot of folks in the room that's winners like Falcons. So, I mean, you know.
Prior to, like, what, 2000, y'all wasn't really on that. Growing up, you wasn't saying that I'm a winner.
We lost.
All right. The Falcons went to 2 Super Bowls and lost.
And I ask you, just like I asked KG, you're only good as your last game, right? Wait a minute. Y'all won a Super Bowl since the Eagles beat you, right?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. Never mind. You right. But, hey, anytime I can slide in there that my team won that Super Bowl.
And
give credit to the people who lose in the Super Bowl because they
went. We went to the – exactly.
You got to get something for going.
There are no consolation prizes for going to the Super Bowl. No. Nah, if you're a real team, you don't play to hang division championship banners. You don't play for that. You play to hang up championship.
Well, we can say this. That depends on the franchise. Right?
There are teams that take pride in doing that.
I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals.
See what I'm saying? That we were talking about that before. The Cincinnati Bengals, Joe Burrow has taken them places where they haven't been before. You know what I'm saying? Like all the Marvin Lewis era days, they might have made it. They would go be one and done, get in, get out. And so now you in the championship.
I want the Bengals to win so bad, but I know it's not going to happen. I just say I know it's not. I like what the Bengals are doing, but this ain't it. This ain't the year. This ain't it. You can't get that boy hit 9 times and then say you're going to win a football game. Like, I'm sorry.
They absolutely got a chance.
In my opinion, I believe they have an absolute chance because the Kansas City defense ain't the defense that was going to be presented to them by Tennessee. It ain't going to be the 9-sack defense. Because everybody's saying if you get the 9 sacks, then there's no way that Cincinnati will win the championship. Amen. And I agree with that, but I don't think that they have the championship. They don't think they have a 9-sack defense.
I just say this. I mean, as much as I want them to win, and I truly, truly do, I don't think they can beat Kansas City. I don't think they can beat Buffalo. I'm sorry. They ain't ready yet. They're a year or two away.
So I'll do this. Around the room. Because I asked the question earlier to Coach Hines, to rank the quarterbacks. I'll ask this same question around the room to rank the defenses that are left.
Mm.
Yeah.
The Niners defense is the best.
Yeah. Niners defense first?
Yeah.
Niners defense one?
Wow. Wait a minute.
I would say the Rams.
After I watched Jalen Ramsey get embarrassed against Mike Evans, it's hard, bro. Like, and he called himself
every dog. Like every dog got their day.
They do, but you can't. But
every corner get beat.
Every corner.
That is true, and that's all well and good. But what I don't like about Jalen Ramsey is this: Mike Evans was beating the other corner, right? Okay, cool. All right, you not that guy. Jalen Ramsey switched to take Mike Evans, and like the next play got beat.
Yeah,
like you can't do that. If you gonna call yourself the man, and I'm gonna lock you up, you cannot step over and get beat like the next play. Like that just don't work to me. It don't. I'm sorry.
So show of hands.
It is Mike Evans though.
It's right. Jalen Ramsey.
No. But have you ever seen Mike Evans? I can honestly say.
Commissioner Gordon.
I'm not arguing that, but
you're kind of a zone guy.
But at the same time, okay, if you beat me and you make a one-handed catch like your boy did in Tennessee, and I'm covering you, and you make a one-handed catch. All right, you got me. All right, cool. I can live with that. He beat that man by like 3 yards. Like I'm just saying, like you can't call yourself the man. And all that to go back to the point of. If you ask me who is the best defense left, I mean, I got to go with the 49ers. I do. I do.
I mean, for me, I'm a
Rams can be second. And that's cool.
I'm a believer in the front four. So, I mean, in the front seven. I like Aaron Donald. I like
Exactly. They wouldn't.
I agree to that. I like Aaron. I like that. What's my boy? Von Miller coming off the edge.
They offense is trash that. Other than Debo.
So what I will ask, though, once again, consensus to the room. If you voting for the San Francisco 49ers as the top defense, show of hands.
Yeah.
One, 49ers top defense. Yeah. One, two,
yep.
Three.
Four. I like the 49ers.
He's right there with you.
I take the Rams second.
All right. Now, Los Angeles Rams as the top defense in the room.
Second.
Got one,
no,
two, three.
Second.
One, two, three, four, five. So – I will give it the majority is to the Rams. And so I will assume that the number two defense is the San Francisco 49ers.
No.
It's the other way around.
Who?
You know who
underrated? We all voted for the 49ers.
He said, what did you say? Rams. 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 Hold up. Hold up. See what I'm saying? I'm saying the majority wins, T. Rams.
No, go back and count that again. No,
Rams.
You said 49ers.
Rams.
I'm 49ers.
You said 49ers, bro.
Oh, you put your hand up on the Rams.
I got confused.
Yeah. See what I'm saying?
You don't drink too much Greenwood.
It ain't me. See what I'm saying?
It's 49ers, Rams, and then... Ooh,
so,
the Bengals.
Hold up.
You like the Bengals defense over
so
the...
So, I'll do this.
No, sir. No, sir.
So the question was posed. The question was posed. Who was the better QB that was played, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady?
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. We are concluding that episode of the Commissioner's Conversation. I appreciate it. And this is what I want to do. This is ultimately the goal. I'm going to go out and say I'm going to get more wireless mics and stuff like that because this is the goal. I want to have an actual conversation. And it's not just me sitting here with a guy and we just sitting here chopping it up and we going back and forth and y'all looking like, who the hell is that dude? What makes him say that? I want to have a conversation with the audience and I want to have everybody's perspective be involved. So this is what we're here to do. This is why I'm here. This is what I'm trying to promote. To when I say the commissioner's conversation, I want us to all, because I respect everyone's here. I respect your sports mind. I respect, you know what I'm saying, your fandom, your perspective, every place you're coming from. And I want to engage more. So I encourage you all to tell somebody, say, hey, man, we coming out. We're going to chop it up. Also, I mean, I'm looking around. It's a lot of us dudes. I would love to have a couple more ladies come through. You know what I'm saying? We could have... some female perspective, because they, ladies are watching sports also. And you know what I'm saying? So I would love to have all of that come into play right here at Blends 2. We're here at Blends 2, 632 South Central Avenue, Hayteville, Georgia. I want to have more involvement, and I appreciate all of you for coming out, and I thank you all of you for coming out. And what I'm gonna do right now, we're about to turn it back over to DJ Unique. He's about to get ready to go up. He's been keeping us going all week. We're going to do this again next week. Right here, next Monday, man, at 632 South Central Avenue. It's going to go down again right here at Blends 2. Come join us. We welcome you in. We welcome your conversation. We welcome your ideas. And we welcome you to come in and party with us. So until next week, I holla.